a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, and we discuss Native issues, and Native issues are human issues, and we got a great show ahead of us.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for your COVID-19 questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was awesome to hear all the people calling them and keep calling them.
Updates every day, really. Right. I mean, especially with this dangerous variant, the Delta variant. So give them a call if you have any questions. And you don't have to live in, you do not have to live in the Twin Cities or Minnesota to call them. You could just call them.
Hey, this Native show, Native Roots Radio, my colonized name's Robert Pilot, like I said, and we discuss Native issues. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And right now, we have Ogama on the scene, the Minnesota State Capitol, and I know we have a lot of questions to ask her because there's been a lot of things going on. Welcome, Ogama, and good to see you live at the governor's mansion.
Yeah, she's at the governor's mansion in St. Paul.
Welcome, Ogama. Okay, your lips are moving, but we don't hear anything.
Yeah, we
from
can't
you.
Hear you, Ogama, so I don't know if you're muted or not.
But you look good. You sounded good in practice. It was awesome
we
there.
We did practice this.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was a Action Wendy at the Capitol today, mm-hmm. and politicians, tribal leaders were up north from the deep north, came down here to talk about their displeasure. Oh, there we go.
All
we
right.
can hear
all
Ogama
right.
now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hi, Bushu, Anine, everybody. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I'm here at the Governor's Mansion in Minnesota. The Stop Line 3 bus has just arrived. And we've got a group of anywhere between probably about 25 and 30 people here at the Governor's Mansion. This is a continuation from a rally that happened earlier today at the Minnesota State Capitol. They had Native and Indigenous leaders come speak, asking Governor Walz to take action to stop the Line 3 pipeline and to honor treaty rights in Minnesota. I don't know if any of you have heard, I know I've reported on it a couple of times, but the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline has already had a breach on the Willow River on July 6th. While they were in the process of drilling the hole to put the pipe in, they had a breach and hit an aquifer and dropped a bunch of drilling fluid. I think anywhere between the estimate is 50 and 100 gallons of drilling fluid, bentonite clay, which suffocates marine animals, and heaven only knows what else they have into that drilling clay that they dropped into the Willow River there. And this rally has continued, like I said, since the rally at the Minnesota State Capitol today. This rally is being primarily led by Tisha Martineau, who is over here helping to lead the chants. There's a lot of children present. I mean, our youth are really showing up for this one. So that's really always great to hear and to see. My own daughter's here with me today. And we've been here. It looks like the rains quit, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing with that drought we're having, right, Robert?
Exactly. Hey, oh, there she is. There's the second in command over there with Ogama's family. Can you tell us a little more in depth? Who spoke at the Capitol earlier today?
Yeah, so at the Capitol today, Tayshia Martineau spoke, Alex Goldenwolf spoke, Nancy Bolio was there with Don Goodwin, Michael Fairbanks, the chairman of White Earth Nation, was there. The South Sound Street Medics, I think is what they're called, they were there. And then they had the Iron Boy drum group there who opened and closed the ceremony as well. I seen Andy Pearson there. We seen lots and lots of, oh, Sherry Kuchar. Sherry Kuchar was there. That was really exciting as well. They had the entire Capitol. If you've ever been into the Minnesota Capitol building, it's a big circular room in the main lobby. And what they ended up doing was the second level of the main lobby was draped with Stop Line 3 and Honor the Treaties banners. And the main level had people with regular kind of handheld size banners and the speakers. So it was really quite a beautiful ceremony.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. And the inside the Capitol is beautiful. I think it's called the Rotunda, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
The inside. Yeah. So good
yes,
for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the event was initially supposed to be outside, but because of the rain, it did get brought inside this time. But now that the rain's quit, we're outdoors at the governor's mansion here.
And what is, can you tell our people that have just tuned in for the first time, what is the message from our Native leaders up in the deep north? What is the message they're trying to give the governor and lieutenant governor?
The message that they're really trying to get across to Governor Walz right now is to honor treaty rights, is to honor the rights of the Anishinaabe people in Minnesota. Right now, because of the water permits that have been granted by Enbridge, granted to Enbridge by the Minnesota DNR, without public comment, without any sort of consultation with the tribes whatsoever in Minnesota, there's... the DNR was able to basically quietly give Enbridge 10 times the amount of water they had initially applied for under their environmental impact statement, without any regard for how that would impact the Native tribes in Minnesota. So the Native tribes, especially the White Earth Nation, are already seeing effects on their wild rice. We are in a low water level year and facing drought conditions here in Minnesota. And Enbridge is taking 5 billion gallons of water, and they're concerned about their wild rice and their livelihood, and they're asking Walz for consultation, meaningful consultation with the tribes as nations to nations, and to honor the treaty rights with Native American people.
Well, I just got to say, Wendy, this is really exciting to have Ogama there.
I love the background.
You're very clear.
And the drums.
Right?
I love it.
And you're very clear now, too, which is exciting. You're not pixelated. But that's just a technical thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we want you to grab some people when we go to break. You got 2 minutes to grab someone that we can talk to and interview and then get back to you. But again, this is really, I love this, Wendy. This is mm-hmm. exciting that we have someone like Ogama.
Right there
on the spot. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at this.
And it's really awesome
angle.
That there's so many people there who really care about this and, you know, don't want this pipeline with these dirty tar sands oil going through it. So I'm really, you know, this pipeline is disappointing to me. It breaks my heart, makes me sad. So...
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, one thing I want to do real quick here, too, Ogama, before we go to commercial break, I had a chance today to talk to Heather Keeler, and I just want to give her a shout out and a prayer that all the stuff that she's been doing behind the scenes at that rotunda and really fighting for her people and our people and fighting for water, which she's done all her life. She isn't just a brand new Indian that just showed up and threw on a ribbon skirt and said she's been fighting this her whole life, and I want to just give her a shout out.
Yeah, and Ogama too has been fighting this for a really long time, even before we've met her.
Well, she's a lot older than she looks. That's I just want to let everyone know.
Oh yeah, speaking of fun fact about Native Roots Radio, my birthday is on Friday.
Yeah.
So happy early birthday to me. And I have been fighting the Line 3 pipeline since just before my daughter was born. I was camping out to try to stop Line 3 when I was pregnant with my daughter, and she's 8 now. So it's going on almost 10 years of this.
Wow. I got to do the math. So wait.
It's really sad that you have to fight that long for a pipeline.
So Ogama is 18? Mm-hmm. I would no.
What funny. I'll be 32 on Friday. All right, everybody. Fun fact. All right.
Well, we'll exchange birthday gifts. You give me mine, and I'll give yours at the same time. Awesome. Hey, we're going to get back with Ogama at the Governor's Mansion and talk a little bit more about today's action at the state capitol
in Minnesota.
In Minnesota. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we're going to talk some more. So you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh,
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
I always want to get ready to howl when you do this one, but that's the next one, right?
Two more.
Yeah, two more. Hey, we're live at the... Oh, look who we have here. This is awesome. We're live at the governor's mansion, and we're with Ogama, and Ogama has handed over her trusty headset to... I see Tasha. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
So happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, so good to see you, and a great action today. I was watching the live feed. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience at the Capitol and what you're doing right now? And tell us a little bit about your camp first. Why don't you do that?
My name is Tasia Martineau. I'm from Camp Migazee, which is a resistance camp in northern Minnesota on the Fond du Lac Reservation. I was very happy today to be able to join other activists at the Minnesota State Capitol, where we called upon Governor Tim Walz and Peggy Flanagan to take into account, you know, the voices of the people, and we're asking them to use their executive power to stop Line 3. We're also calling upon the people to mobilize and help us as they are coming for the rivers, they're coming for our children's lives, they're coming for our future, and they're coming for our elders. So we're trying to mobilize people to join us in northern Minnesota to help resist this pipeline and stop Line 3.
You know, I want to say this before I ask you your next question, but we did some work with Madonna Thunderhawk a couple weeks ago and talked to her, and the Thousand Grannies love you. They love you. They support you. You remind them of them. Yeah, that's it, right?
Yes, that's it. Well, she reminds them of them when they were younger.
Yeah. So it was beautiful to hear, and it's beautiful to hear that that heart and that spirit, and that you're staying strong because of all these adversaries and people that are surrounding you, but you're still doing this in a good way. And I wanted to say that because it really, I got teary-eyed and struck my heart in a good way when Madonna said that.
Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful to meet with the Lakota elders and recognizing that even though Minnesota is the treaty territories of the Anishinaabeg people, this is also the ancestral homeland of the Lakota, Nakota, Dakota people. And so by welcoming them home when they came to Camp McGeezy and being able to meet with so many elders who, you know, support that good way of life and reminding us to stay strong even in the face of adversity was absolutely beautiful. In that spirit of those who came before us, we're holding space outside of Governor Tim Walz's mansion today and reminding him that we're still here. We still need his voice. We still need him to speak up for his constituents and those who voted him into the place where he is today. And we are asking him to stop line three.
Wow, that's great. You know, how can we support your camp? I know I want to specifically talk about your camp. Is there a website, a Facebook page? How can we follow you and support you?
We do have a Facebook. It's McGeezy Will Fly, Camp McGeezy on Facebook. We have an Instagram. We most recently made a TikTok. I guess TikTok is the new thing. And we also have a Twitter. People are able to support us by means of monetary donation through Venmo, PayPal, and even just coming on out to the camp and, you know, joining us for a bite to eat, cooking a meal with us. You know, we're a very open camp. You don't have to be arrested in order to be part of a resistance camp. You know, there's space for everyone at camp, and we'd be so happy to meet each and every single one of you. And we look forward to meeting everyone on the front line.
Wow, that's great. That's awesome. Before I let you go, because I know you're busy and you got to get that megaphone out and see if our governor is listening and seeing us, because we're not invisible as our audience and us, we all know. Give us a quick rundown of what you want us to say to the governor and then also what action you want us to take with you.
We'd like to call upon Governor Tim Walz, you know, to use his executive power to help stop this project. If he continues to refuse to acknowledge that as Indigenous people, we are still here, we're going to continue holding space here outside of his mansion so that he can remember that he is on Native land.
Wow, beautiful. Thank you so much for stopping in with us. Your work is beautiful, and we put tobacco out for you and your family every day because we know this is not easy.
All right. Thank you all so much for having me.
Wendy's got a
question. I don't know if it's just a general question. Is there any way anybody could know for sure whether the governor is actually at home right now in the mansion, or there's really no way of knowing that? I'm just curious. That's all.
No, I don't think so.
Probably nobody knows whether he's really
there
or not. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Unless you checked his schedule. But yeah, I saw a lot of press there, and it looked like a good action at the Capitol. And Summit Avenue has a lot of people driving down. So I think it's a beautiful thing. Thanks again, Tasha. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me. Geekabobaman.
Thank you. Yeah, they do get a lot of traffic on Summit Avenue, so it will bring a lot of awareness. You know, yesterday Ogama was talking about, you know, there's a lot of people who don't even know about Line 3. They don't even know that it's happening. They don't understand why it's happening and why we're trying to stop it. So people driving up and down Summit Avenue will be able to, you know, be aware now of what's going on and, by seeing their signs and stuff, you know, people, you know, when I'm out and about and I see somebody holding up a sign and I don't understand what it is, right? When I get home or I could stop, I'm looking on my phone, like Googling what that is I could find out what's going on.
Well, one of the cool things in the inner city here, we drive around a little bit. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. A sneeze. Okay.
We drive around a little bit and we see stop line three signs all the time.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I'm sure people will be honking. Let's get Ogama back on there and tell us what's the temperature there and what's happening. Whoops. We're fighting with each other's buttons. I got you now.
All right. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep. We can hear you.
All right. So I don't know what the temperature is now, but I can tell you that just about 15 minutes ago, Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, Peggy Flanagan, has finally released a statement about Line 3, basically saying the opening of the statement says, as many people know, I have long expressed my opposition to Line 3. My position has not changed, and I'm once again speaking up. She talks about her daughter knowing she is a water protector and that water is our first medicine, and that her daughter knows that their homeland is where the food grows on water. She says, while she cannot stop Line 3, she will continue to do what is within her power to make sure that our people are seen, heard, valued, and protected. Using my voice is an important part of that work. And that is what Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan just released about 15 minutes ago on the Line 3 pipeline topic. And I know that we've been waiting for a statement from her for quite some time. Right, Robert?
Gosh, yes, Wendy. Oh, my gosh. That's great. So that's invite her to all the actions that you go to, Ogama, and maybe she can be the first one we interview when you have these actions, when we're covering these actions.
Yeah, that would be nice to see her to come here. She said that she is a proud member of the White Earth Nation, and she stands with her people in opposition to Line 3. So it would be great to have Lieutenant Governor Flanagan here standing with us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. To me, that's great, great news. We'll have to see how that settles down. Because Ogama and Wendy, I think her first statement was just one sentence, wasn't it? That's a little more.
I think
than
her first statement was very short. It did express opposition, but I do believe it was very short. And this is a bit of a longer statement. And I know that from the Indigenous community, a lot of us have been, you know, pretty hurt by her silence on this issue. But, you know, those of us that still hold faith have been wondering, you know, what's happening behind closed doors? You know, what is she saying? Within the walls of the Capitol and in her role to help stop this. And I'm sure she has been saying things, but it's hard when that isn't coming out to the public. It's hard for the public that supports her to not hear those statements. So I'm really, really glad that she's put something out about this now.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear you say that, because that was my first inkling too. Before we let you go, Wendy said you guys got to come over for dinner. She's going to cook up some more vittles when you're done there. And right, Wendy?
Yeah, absolutely. Come on over, you and Anna.
Yeah, we got some vittles
okay.
for you.
Okay, all right, we'll do that.
So we got a minute here. What else is your feeling? And I guess the temperature of the crowd. I didn't mean the temperature outside.
Well,
I
got, it's 70 degrees and very humid. So that's the temperature here in St. Paul right now.
But everyone's pretty excited. It's pretty festive. It looks like there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Community.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very community. There's some people wrestling behind me. There's lots of children. The children have been leading chants. The adults have been safe places for the children. You know, kind of it's limited signage. It's a lot more voice today than it is signage, which I think is good. So,
well, we love the fact that you were able to come down, because I got caught up in a meeting and I wasn't being able to make it. But it was great that you went Facebook Live on Native Roots Radio Facebook page. And the great work that you're doing, you know, I just have to tell you that I really appreciate you being down here and covering this stuff and doing your thing. So I want you to hang loose. I see Bob Blake's is up next, and he's ready to go, and he's got some big stories. But really appreciate what you're doing. We'll keep you close, and we'll be watching in case the governor comes out and wants to talk to Native Roots Radio.
We'll see.
Ogama just crossed her fingers.
That's awesome. Hey, Radio Ogama, just remember that. Hey, we'll be right back with Bob Blake with the Solar News, Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're really always excited to hear his updates and what's happening. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short message.
Stay with us. If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit Pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hello, it's Randy Rhodes, Team Randy. Glad to be a part of the lineup of Progressive Voices on AM 950. Tune in, join us weeknights at 10.
In Minnesota, perinatal and postpartum mothers have legal protections to help keep them safe and healthy in the workplace. That means exclusions from heavy lifting, safe spots for breastfeeding, and more. The Women's Economic Security Act protects the rights of pregnant and postpartum women to work safely during pregnancy and to express breast milk at work. The Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry is here to help you and to protect your rights. Call 800-342-5354 or visit dli.mn.gov/newparents.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 60, Thursday sunny with a high near 82, and Friday sunny with a high around 84.
It's been 756 days since the last Twin Cities Pride event, and fortunately, it's back this weekend. The 49th annual Twin Cities Pride Festival will be at Loring Park this Saturday and Sunday, and it'll feature local BIPOC and LGBTQ+ vendors, a food court, a beer garden, and music stages. Details at tcpride.org.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Earth Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, it's Wednesday, and, it's great. Ogama's at the Governor's Mansion, mm-hmm. was at the state capitol live, and now we have the Solar News and with Solar Bear, and which AK is Robert Blake from Red Lake. And we really appreciate you. There you are. We have all this positive news and what's going on, and then we have some things that that we can look forward to, and then also things that are not good in our thing. But Robert, welcome. It's always great to have you on these Wednesdays.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
It's going good.
Hey, hey, Robert, I've got three great stories to share with you tonight. Awesome. And the last one is super, super important. And you heard it here first on Native Roots Radio, the Solar News with the Solar Bear. So this is really going to be exciting, the third story. And then I also want to tell Wendy that last week the Climate Justice Advisor of the City of St. Paul, the one that I'm on, we're going to make a recommendation to the St. Paul City Council to oppose the Line 3. just like the city of Minneapolis did. So awesome. I wanted to let you know about that, Wendy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news.
So Robert, the first story I wanted to tell you real quick is the Department of Energy has awarded $12 million to tribal communities to maximize deployment of energy technology. So wow. They just awarded grants all across the country to different tribes that, and I personally went through this process. So it's a very intensive process, but tribal nations are able to go ahead and apply for this grant, and they can get, upwards of X amount of dollars to help them, put solar, wind, whatever it is, this is great news, and this just came out from the Department of Energy. Because, Robert, they were decimated by the Trump administration. People don't know this, but the Trump administration decimated the Department of Energy. So they're just now started to getting people back in there and filling those positions.
Wow, that is exciting news. Gosh, great news, Robert.
The second story is a report released Friday by Data for Progress at Evergreen Action shows that an infrastructure package with $2.6 trillion in climate investments would create 26 million green jobs over the next decade. This contributing to a post-pandemic economic recovery that advances renewable energy and environmental justice. So how important are those two put together? And with this, what's going on right now, this is a 3.5 million right now that that the Democrats are probably going to have to pass on their own. But this is just how important this is, Robert. Can you see the amount of jobs that can be created? So for all those people that are like, don't want the Democrats to control, or they're creating 26 million jobs, Robert. This is so important to our economy and to the country.
You know what I think is very important, too, is that people are putting those two together. As you know, and a lot of BIPOC people know, that social justice, it goes hand in hand with all of this, what we're talking about. So it's great that they know that, too, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and when you look at, what are, the frontline communities, and I think, Robert, we've really seen it this last week, right? The last couple of weeks. With the heat waves and the flooding and out in the East Coast, because this is actual science that's happening right now, Robert. The moisture is going up into the clouds. The clouds are drying out the Western United States and making it, fire hazard, right? Traveling across the country and then dumping all that moisture on the East Coast, right? So this is just what happens during climate change. And you see the effects of it right now. And the people that are being mostly affected by it are these frontline communities.
Absolutely. Wendy.
That's crazy. I know. I was just talking to somebody, my family's out east in New York, and I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and they said that it doesn't feel like summer there. It feels like they're in London because it keeps it's foggy, it's rainy, it's, it's kind of damp and kind of miserable, really. But
yeah. And that, the moisture, Wendy, that's the moisture that gets picked up by the clouds, gets carried out to the East Coast, and gets dumped on. But what it's doing is it's taking all the moisture out of the ground on the West Coast, and it's making it just a big fire tinder out there.
And a desert. I mean, it already is a desert. And I know it's interesting, too, what's going on up in the deep north, and how I know we talk about it in northern Minnesota, that all these creeks and rivers are drying up. And we have a foreign company from a different country coming in here and making decisions about our land and our people and again, social justice.
Absolutely. And that's how come, with the St. Paul Climate Justice Advisory Board, that we have to make this recommendation to the city council to oppose Line 3, just like the Minneapolis City Council has done. And that's so important, Robert. I mean, we're the capital city. We have a moral obligation to the rest of this country because we are a headwater state to provide clean water for the rest of our relatives downstream. And, you know, that the city of St. Paul has to step up, just like the city of Minneapolis did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Listen, you know what? Canada has stronger environmental laws than we do here. And that's why the pipeline is here in Minnesota. That's why I would like to see us have the same, and if not the same, even stricter environmental laws here in Minnesota. So that pipelines like Line 3 don't, you know, be detrimental to our land.
Yep. And let me go one step further, Wendy. You know, when I was running for city council in St. Paul, the one thing I wanted to do was give rights to the Mississippi, actually recognize the Mississippi as a human being. You know what I mean? As give it those rights. And that's the nature rights. And that's a big movement right now. And you see it happening down in New Zealand. You see it happening in other countries. And that's how we fight these corporations with those kinds of laws and rights.
Yeah, you know, I always, you know, think about, are there reptilian minds that are running these corporations? I mean, are they not seeing the same things we are? Is greed blinding them so much? I mean, we love a tree, but... You know, there's no value to a tree until it's torn down and chopped up. I mean, that's kind of what we got going here, Bob.
Absolutely. And Robert, I want to get to this next story, but because this is really important, but I want to say this to you. Do you remember that part in Wall Street, that movie Wall Street with Charlie Sheen? And he's walking down the hallway with the old guy, Hal Holbrook. And Hal Holbrook says to Charlie Sheen, he says, "Bud, the funny thing about money is it makes you do things you don't want to do."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's exactly what happens to human beings. Money makes us do things we don't want to do. But listen, Robert, I want to tell you this great story, and this needs to go out to all of tribal country right now. And that you heard it here first. But the Morongo band of Indians down in New Mexico, down in Arizona, basically became owners of a transmission line, because what happened was Southern California Edison was carrying energy to Southern California, right? Well, they were going right through the tribal nation, and they weren't, you know, basically paying them to do this, kind of like how you run pipelines through tribal yeah. reservations and you don't pay them, you know, same exact thing, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they had to redo this, right? They had to redo this agreement with the tribe. And guess what? The tribe became owners of the part of this transmission line. Now, this is huge, Robert, because what's going to have to happen is transmission lines all across the country are going to have to be replaced because they're going to be carrying renewable energy. And what I want all tribal nations right now is to look at this case study that happened in Arizona with this particular tribe and copy it, because we need all tribal nations to become their own tribal utilities, carrying mm-hmm. their own energy, and us having a say exactly on how energy is being developed and being distributed here on Turtle Island. That's why this beautiful. Is so important.
It's beautiful and important. And I think one of the things that I've learned from you, too, is one of the things when tribes are trying to do some solar, do some wind, the first thing they should do is talk to these big companies, too, to partnership with them so they don't get butthurt, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And all I want to say to tribal nations, just talk to them. Do not take any deals from them, because remember, they are in it for their own interest, and they're gonna do what's right for them. Be sure that you always have another set of eyes on the prize, right? So you know, we don't get bamboozled. You know, we can't blame the other guy anymore. We're educated now. We know what we're doing. But we need to have a seat at the table. But this story is so important, Robert, because this is going to be happening all across the country now, and tribal nations need to perk up and pay attention to this.
Wow, yeah, that is great, and you know, it's part of us having you on each week to be chimed in, and it's really good for me with my new job to really hear this stuff too. So I really appreciate that. I got 30 seconds for you, Robert. Give us what you got here, man. Just give us a great rundown here in the next 30 seconds.
Yeah, everyone. I mean, you know, with this is serious. It's going to take all hands on deck, and you know, guys, we got to save the planet, and it's going to require indigenous native leadership. You know, we got to take care of Turtle Island. This was always our responsibility.
And it still is, and we're the last line of defense for Mother Earth, and I really appreciate your updates, Robert. Hey, thanks again for doing everything that you do for us Native people in Turtle Island and Mother Nature.
And thanks for the update with the St. Paul City Council. I'm going to be emailing Chris Tolbert. He's my guy.
All right, perfect. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Great to see you, my friend. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And hey, we'll be right back. And I don't know, we might check in with Ogma. And I know you have some sad news to talk about. We'll be right back.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudigy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Need help getting a COVID-19 vaccine? Trusted community connectors can find vaccination sites, make appointments, answer questions, and provide interpretation. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment or find a community connector, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Thanks, Jane, for the shout out.
Yeah. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
We're going to have Ogama just jumped on to do that. Yes. We're going to hopefully David Knoyer, who's going to be hosting the show tomorrow. Yeah. Sees that that's what he's got to do, is he's got to howl, you know, during this part that Ogama is going to read. Read it. Let's try it again. Maybe I'll try and see if I can get David Knoyer on to howl with us.
Sure. Native Roots Radio. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Okay, that was. David's getting carried away.
That's awesome.
All right, good.
That sounds like a
Wolfman Jack here.
That's right. A legit wolf howl.
He said Wolfman Jack. That's right. KDWB. Okay, I'm taking you off now. Great to see you, Dave. Yeah, David Knoyer will be hosting with our crew tomorrow, and yeah. We're looking forward to. I hope he doesn't do too good of a job, though.
He's going to do a really good job. I'm a little worried. I know. All right. Geez. It's going to be okay, Robert.
All right. All right, thanks. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she works on animal issues in the state and local venue. And also, you are, you know, I used to have the Humane Policy Volunteer Leader for the Humane Society of the United States. Welcome, and tell us your name.
Thank you, Robert. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. Mm-hmm. Curtis's Native American name is Mashke Hanajinga, and that means walks on white clouds. So as always, Curtis, thank you for that beautiful name. I really appreciate it. You know, I woke up this morning all week long. Let me start off. All week long, I've been talking about what's going on in Utah. The Onaquai horse herd is being rounded up by the BLM, which is the Bureau of Land Management out there, because they are saying that the horses are in really bad condition. There isn't enough ground food for them to eat, and they need to get rid of the horses because they're in bad shape. But in the reality of it is they are working and acquiescing to the cattlemen and ranchers that want to bring 25,000 herd of cows and sheep, which will really decimate that area. But anyway, they have to get the horses off that land so that the cows and the sheep can graze so that they can be killed and we could eat them. So anyway, these Onaquai horses have been in this area actually for centuries, and what people and advocates have been doing for months now is pleading with the government and President Biden and Secretary of Interior Deb Haaland and everybody else to please stop this roundup. So what happens is they get helicopters and the helicopters fly down low and they terrify and actually terrify these horses, and they round them up. The horses are put into tractor trailer trucks and they're brought to a government owned area, like a pen area, where they're held until they're adopted. But what happens is they're not really adopted. What happens is they're called kill buyers. And these kill buyers from Mexico and Canada show up at these places and they buy the horses pound per pound. And then the horses are sent to slaughter in Mexico and Canada because they could make a lot of money. And then the meat of the horses go to overseas for human consumption. So this is what's happening right now. And I really got bad news this morning. I was hoping the roundup was postponed for one day. They were looking at more data and blah, blah, blah. That's all I could say about that. But this morning at 9 a.m., I got an update that the roundup had occurred, and that was already a truckload of these horses that were going to this government stop. Now, I'm friends with this woman, Jen, on Facebook, and she runs a horse rescue. And I think it is in Utah, but she's helping people and she's going there and she's working with the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, if they will work with her. And she wants to get as many horses out as possible. And she wants sanctuaries also to work with her. But if you live in Utah or you live anywhere in the United States and you can adopt these horses, I have her email address. It's right here. It's Redbirds Trust. You could find them on Facebook, Redbirds Trust, and it's redbirdstrust@hotmail.com. So redbirdstrust@hotmail.com. And you can go there and they will, you could email them and tell them that you're interested in these horses and they will give you the information, the process that you have to go through to get these horses. Now, the thing that they're really concerned about, these are horse people. Now, I don't know anything about horses, honestly. But horses need to stay together. And Ogama had up a picture of of these horses. And this was taken one day before the roundup. So for those who can't see our Facebook page, this is a family. So this is a mare, male and female horses, and they're two babies. Mm-hmm. And they stay together, these horses. Like, they live together, they walk together, they stay in the herd together, and they're a family unit. Now, when these helicopters come and terrify these horses, the horses run every which way possible, right? Mm-hmm. So these family units are getting displaced. And what she, this woman, Jen, from Red Birds Trust, wants to do is, since she knows these horses and she's been watching them and taking pictures of them and mm-hmm. learning about them through over the years, she knows kind of who belongs to who. So what she's going to try to do is actually wow. try to get them to get together,
right.
right? Try to get the family units back together, which she really does feel is impossible, which she wrote. She feels it's impossible, but she's going to try her very best to do that. And she wants to work diligently with the local BLM office to come up with a strategy and a time frame for beginning projects to remove fence lines also from the area to allow for a cleaner path to forage for these animals that will cause less injury to the horses also. Because a lot of these horses, like Old Man Gondorf, he's 30 years old. He's been living in this area his whole life, and he's frail, and he's skinny, and he's 30 years old. And they haven't found him yet, but they were really afraid that this helicopter roundup was going to be so upsetting to him and cause him so much stress that he wasn't going to be able to survive the roundup. And I also have a picture of Old Man Gandalf, who's a 30-year-old male horse, has been, you know, living. He's an Onaquai horse. The Onaquai horses, have been in Utah, in this area, for centuries.
Yeah.
I mean, they date back to
the Spaniards. Right?
Yeah, you know, it's just unbelievable. But, you know, the cattlemen and ranchers have the upper hand, and I just feel like. Like with the pipeline,
yep.
you know, it's the same thing. We're fighting this fight and we can't get anywhere. Like, nobody is listening to reason.
Right.
It's all about big corporation. It's all about greed. It's all about money. And that's what's happening. You know, I'm heartbroken over the pipeline and these horses. You saw me at the kitchen table this morning.
I thought something was in your eye.
You said, "What's wrong with your eyes?" And I'm like, nothing. I'm crying.
that was terrible.
That's what's wrong, because I'm reading what's happening to these horses and I'm crying.
That was terrible that I said that. I apologize.
But
I thought something was in your eyes.
Yeah, that's okay.
I know.
But nothing. Yeah, there were tears in my eyes. But anyway.
Well, I appreciate it.
We have to keep fighting. And if people could please adopt these horses, Red Birds Trust.
Awesome. Peeny Gigi, thank you for talking about our relatives in the way you do every week.
I appreciate it. It's my pleasure.
Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to the show, you're a part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I want to give a shout-out to Wendy Ogama on the spot, and our Wednesday guest, Bob Blake from Red Lake Solar
Tasha
Bear.
Tasha, also, thank you for stopping in.
Thank you so much, Wendy. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.